This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, and Alec Medford running the show today. Remember, Mike is on assignment with the Rangers. If he could encourage them to get some more hits, that would be fantastic. We'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
Are you texting him right now to get more hits?
I was talking to Mike about that. He was like, look, man, they've only played one game since I've been here. And I was like, and my feeling is they lost that game, Mike. So,
and they had been on a roll.
Yeah, they were doing really well up until you got there, Mike.
Okay. All right. That's that is a great point that I hadn't entirely considered. All right. I want to do something else entirely. I want to do something totally different with this first segment, if you guys will allow it. I do want to talk about the Cowboys, but I want to talk about some old school Cowboys. Go ahead and fire up cut number five, if you will.
At the 34-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. Watch out. Jaworski popped by Martin. Blind side again. Harvey Martin got to him.
Now, there are 14 former Dallas Cowboys.
I dare you to name them all.
I actually can name them all. Do you really want me to name them all? Is this going to be a Bobby situation where I'm going to get in trouble afterwards?
You just send me a link about it so I can...
Don Meredith.
All right.
Darryl Johnston. Herschel Walker. Billy Houghton. Ray Donaldson. Ralph Neely. Nate Newton. John Nyland. George Andre. Ed Tuttle Jones. Harvey Martin. Leroy Jordan. Cornell Green. And Everson Walls. So the reason why I bring this up, because I wanted to make a case for at least three of them. They're all on the senior nominee list for the Hall of Fame. So I know we talk a lot about the modern Cowboys and everything like that, and I'm curious how much of our audience cares about this.
I'm sorry, and you didn't say Darren Woodson? Because
he's still in consideration for modern Hall of Fame.
Okay, thank you.
You have to be at least 15 years removed, I believe. So he's still in consideration for modern Hall of Fame. I foolishly hope he still makes it because he should, even though the voters are like, meh, either way. So I'm curious how much of our audience like loves or appreciates the history of the Dallas Cowboys. And they're like, you're damn right, I want Nate Newton to get into the Hall of Fame. So I wanted to just run through. We could stop on any of these that you want. Don Meredith. I like Don Meredith a lot.
I don't. I do too. I don't think
I don't
he's
either.
There.
Now, should he be in the Hall of Fame because he's in the best King of the Hill episode ever? Yes.
No.
Maybe he should.
Look, you can't go into the Hall of Fame for being on a cartoon.
Oh.
Even if it's based in Garland.
This is going to be a tough show for us.
What do you mean?
Just kidding. All right. Darryl Johnston and Herschel Walker.
Darryl Johnston is interesting because we all know for a fact that Emmitt benefited from a huge career because of Darryl Johnston.
Absolutely.
Troy benefited a lot because of Darryl Johnston too. However, stats for fullbacks don't matter and don't work. So as much as I think Darryl Johnston deserves to be there, I can totally see how the rest of the country goes, eh.
I think that's probably a fair point with those couple. I have to admit, Billy Houghton, I didn't know or remember offhand. My apologies for not knowing or remembering that.
How many times was Darryl Johnston an All-Pro? Because that is, he made the Pro Bowl twice.
Was he an All-Pro?
Doesn't say All-Pro. So that's interesting to me. Who was the fullback that was beating Darryl Johnston for all pro?
That is a good question.
Or did they just roll out two running backs at the time?
And they're like, hey, it's the same.
Yeah,
it's like
same thing.
All right. I want to skip down just a couple.
Got? Yeah, and Herschel Walker. Yeah, I agree with you. Nah.
Not. I just don't think that is the case. All right. What about Nate Newton? Now, Nate Newton, I think, is a Hall of Famer.
His post career stuff has nothing to do with his on-field stuff.
At least it's not supposed to. I can't speak for how people vote, but it's not supposed to. Like, that's what they say in the Hall of Fame voting bylines or whatever, guidelines maybe. So Nate Newton was a part of three Super Bowl championship teams. He was first team All-Pro twice. He was a six-time Pro Bowler. But the other thing that Nate Newton has working for him, and maybe this just doesn't translate for Hall of Fame voters. Maybe you just look at the, hey, what are your All-Pros? What is your sack percentage or your win percentage allowed? All that stuff. It was called the Great Wall of Dallas. It was viewed as unquestionably the best offensive line in the 90s. Who is in the Hall of Fame from that group? Larry Allen. So you're telling me they had the best Hall of Fame, the best offensive line, without question. Like, good luck stopping them. You can't, blah, 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 blah. And that's even led to some people saying Emmitt Smith is not that great. First of all, I don't agree with that at all. But if you're going to say he's not as great as this or that, why? Because he played behind one Hall of Famer. That makes no sense. So Nate Newton, in the prime of this offensive line, back-to-back first-team All-Pro, and I think he's got a little something that transcends beyond that.
By the way, somebody said Larry Sinners at fullback, Kevin. Oh. Somebody also said Daryl Johnson, GTFO. That's why y'all are called homers. And I don't understand. Like, I literally just said as a Cowboys fan, but I understand why nationally it wouldn't be.
Yes.
So I don't understand.
That is a confusing
that
take.
Stupid line. But Kevin, at running back in the 90s, they didn't have fullback. So there's no fullback listed there. So he would have had to have beaten that out. So
this next one's going to be tough. Ed Too Tall Jones.
In my heart.
Yeah.
You don't get a nickname if you don't belong in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's just the way you get a nickname, like Too Tall. You go in the Hall of Fame, man.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Him and actually, I would say Harvey Martin Ed Too Tall Jones. But, man, football is a contact sport.
That is. How many people remember that commercial and then we did the drop?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I will take Harvey Martin. I'm not saying it has to be an either or, but Harvey Martin was co-MVP of the Super Bowl. He won Defensive Player of the Year in 1977. He was first or second team All-Pro four times. If it's not for the archaic way that the NFL quantifies sacks, I think he would be in there. He was also on the All-Decade team.
Yeah. I agree with you, man. He belongs right there in that category.
So Harvey Martin is the person that I would throw in the Hall of Fame. So thus far, I think Nate Newton, I think Harvey Martin should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Yes!
Thank you, Too Tall. Really appreciate you making your comeback. On a show that originated that drop. Thank you.
Fact. And then there's one more. I'm going to pitch out to you. Although if you have questions about any of the others, we can definitely dissect. Everson Walls. Everson Walls.
Because no on Leroy Jordan? I would say no. Lots of Pro Bowls, but I would... And, well, he's on Super Bowl winning teams, too. All time. Like, he's a... That's... I don't know how to exactly go about it. 32 interceptions in his career?
That's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive, man. Maybe Leroy Jordan does deserve it, but no all pros.
Yeah, and that's, look, whether you think it's fair, whether you think it's not fair, that's how a lot of modern Hall of Fame voters go after this. So I wanted to pitch to you Everson Walls. Everson Walls led the league in interceptions three times.
Yep.
You know who else has done that?
Nobody?
One person, Ed Reed.
Oh, okay.
And Ed Reed's
a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Ed Reed is obviously a Hall of Famer. He led the league in interceptions three times. He was a first-team All-Pro three times, including one of those years he led the league in interceptions and didn't make All-Pro, which is also confusing. This is somebody, to me, that especially in the first half of the 80s, was an absolute force. So if I had to pick three from those lists, and you don't have to limit it, I would go Nate Newton, Harvey Martin, and Everson Walls. Those are my guys.
All right, let me ask you this question, though. Everson Walls played on, like you said, the 80s teams.
He did. And that works against him, I'm sure.
He's not playing in the Super Bowls. He's not winning Super Bowls.
Fair.
And I'm not saying you have to, because there are people in the Hall of Fame that at other positions. It's usually the quarterbacks that rely a lot on NFC championships and Super Bowls. And a lot of these other guys get in based on the merit of what their careers were, the All-Pros and all that stuff, too. I'm not saying he has to, but that's definitely one of those things that kind of gets you there as a skill player. You need that.
And that's where it seems like a double penalty. And then I want to talk about the modern Cowboys in just
a second. But he was phenomenal at his position.
And I see people continue to bring it up. Darren Woodson. Darren Woodson should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame, but we're just running down people that were on the senior candidate list, which maybe potentially smooths the way for them to get in the Hall of Fame just a little bit more. Darren Woodson should be a Hall of Famer. The fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame now perplexes me to no end, because you just brought up Everson Walls. Maybe he gets penalized for the fact that no Super Bowls. Okay, well then, does that mean there should be a benefit for Super Bowls? Because you would think Nate Newton and Darren Woodson would be right there.
Yeah, I can definitely see that part of the conversation. By the way, I want to add too, if you have never listened to the Wednesday night Cowboys Hour,
it's very entertaining.
You got to. It's awesome. And Everson Walls, Darren Woodson, all these guys frequently make their way on to these shows on Wednesday nights. I'll be on October 2nd. So that's my first night to be able to do that. Everson Walls is entertaining as hell.
I will also be on
October 2nd. You and
December.
Me?
December.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then Darren Woodson is always, he always has great takes, great information. So if you want, you need to listen on those Wednesday nights during the Cowboys season.
Now let's talk about the modern Cowboys. Something that came out.
All of them.
Okay. I'm not going to talk about the Hall of Fame for the modern
Dak,
Cowboys.
Tyron.
I'm not going to do that
Tyler,
right now. Tyron's not even on the team
Guyton.
Anymore. The Cowboys officially reworked the contract of right tackle Terrence Steele.
Okay.
That opened up $4.5 million. We already talked about the money that the Cowboys could save in the current year with Dak Prescott and with CeeDee Lamb. So Todd Archer is reporting that the Cowboys should have about $20+ million in space to carry over into the 2025 season. And I wanted to key in on that because this is what bothers me about the way the Cowboys do business and when they talk about all in. You have $20+ million now. Now, I'll admit, maybe they're like, hey, we're going to make a big splash at the trading deadline. I don't think so. We've talked to Stephen Jones enough to say he likes to tell us about how you can carry over the cap space. What do you think are the holes on this team right now? I know it's only been one game and you're like, oh, it looks pretty good. What do you think are the holes on this team?
Running back.
Okay,
Where they could stand to add a... you know, make a trade there.
Okay. Where else would you like to add?
Another receiver, third receiver.
Okay. Where else?
Feeling pretty good about my defense right now.
Okay.
Because defensive tackle would be the spot if there's like a big name.
Okay. So with that money, my argument is you can get a starter, or if you want to sell out for your big name, like I know it's not Chris Jones, but if you want to go back and got Chris Jones or whatever, this is what agitates me about the organization. Is you think you have a good team, at least that's they've told us, hey, we have a good team. You could take that money right now. Sure, you would be screwing over future years of salary cap. You can go get a better running back, or you could have going back a better running back, wide receiver, and defensive tackle to shore up this team, to shore up the starters, to shore up the depth, and really say we're ready for battle. But instead, the Cowboys are going to say, hey, we're going to carry over that $20 million next year. Oh, question. Don't CD and Dax numbers go up next year? Bah, don't worry about that. It's so they can handle the impact for the upcoming contracts for next year. Instead of saying, hey, let's sell all the way out. Let's see if we can get it done. And so when people say they don't like the way the Jones family operates, this is the part that bothers me the most.
Okay, I understand that. Like that's one of the main factors that I think frustrates a lot of Cowboys fans is when you need to access that, how can you get it and you don't have the accessibility to it. Kevin Cubby did win with the Giants.
Okay.
Everson Walls. My apologies, I forgot because I don't care about the Giants.
Fair. That is very fair. And then I love this, that people still remember this. This is how I know you're a diehard of the station from the 214. I still say football is a contact sport at every level. Every time I hear football, and that is also from that same commercial.
Football is a contact sport at any level.
There it is.
I love it.
Man,
I remember when we were a night show
and we started using that and everybody was laughing. They were like, God, I love this show. And then somebody stole it from us.
It happens.
It's okay.
It happens. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Appreciate that.
And for the person who brought up, they still have to sign Micah Parsons. Great point. Thank you for bringing that up.
He just came up. He's just now.
That's fine. That's a great point. You know how much he counts on the cap next year? $21.3 million. Once you inevitably give him his long-term deal, guess what's going to happen to that
million
number?
$3 million.
It maybe not that low.
$2 million.
But it's good. No, you can't go further down. It's going to get lower. All right. It's that first year of the new deal where you can fold in some of that money from the option or whatever else. You have the opportunity to make that number even lower. And sorry if I'm spouting a whole bunch of numbers, but my point is that is not disqualifying from going all in right now.
Kevin, back to the real quick. Jim Jeffcoat on the list?
I did not see him on the list. What about Kelvin Martin? I didn't see him on the list.
No Alvin Harper?
No.
No Godfrey Miles?
Stop it.
James Washington.
Of all those people, is Godfrey Miles
Steve Pelure
deserving? Steve Pelure? Why not Steve Walsh?
Where's Danny
White?
Are
you just naming old Cowboys?
Tony Dorsett's already in, so I can't just name him. You know what I mean?
Why not say Danny White?
I did say Danny White.
Okay. Steve Pelure.
Osa?
He is on the team right now. Yes, we should get him re-signed as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. Do you ever boo your own team at sporting events? And do folks who do so bother you? Let's do next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey, I'm going to ask for a one-time exemption to do a special shout-out.
All right.
Went to Texas Roadshow, the card shop in Mansfield yesterday. I promised to shake them down. That is what I attempted to do. They were overwhelmingly generous with their donations for Peace-a-thon. So whenever people ask, like, hey, is there a card shop you recommend? If you're in that area, or honestly, even if you're not, Texas Roadshow is a great card shop.
Yeah, Cody's an awesome guy, man. Great. I appreciate him, and I appreciate what they all do out there.
Austin,
that place is awesome looking for one.
You got cards off the wall.
Oh, yeah, I still have those, and like they're never leaving my family. I'll just tell you that.
All right, so thank you very much for allowing that. Now, I want to go to something that we heard throughout the Cowboys game on Sunday. It felt like, and I know a lot of places feel like this, Arizona, at times Los Angeles, it felt like at worst a neutral site game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but you heard continually Cleveland Browns fans booing their team, especially toward the end of the first half when you talked about the sarcastic clap for the first down and then just getting relentlessly booed time and time again. Well, that happened with the Giants as well. So I want to throw it to cut number 11. This is Dexter Lawrence talking about home fans booing. And then I want to get y'all's take on that idea.
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. You know, it's just a rough patch. I mean, it just is what it is.
All right. So the key thing there, he sounded really excited about that question because of the way the game
went. I think with both of these situations, Kevin, both teams here, because Dexter Lawrence is a Giant.
Yep.
Miserable quarterback play. And he's like, what can I do about that?
Fair.
And then with the Browns, the same thing. Miserable offensive playing. What can I do about that? If you're a defensive, if you're Myles Garrett, who, honestly, Cowboys had a brilliant plan against Myles Garrett. Like, they did a... Go back and look at what they did to him. That was fantastic. And I don't know if you saw the Duke Mannyweather video...
Oh, I have
...of
not.
Him prepping Terrence Steele and Guyton before the week before the game. And he was talking to him about basic fundamentals and things. He did try to get them to steal a yard off the line of scrimmage, which, you know, the NFL was like, hey, we're not doing that. But he was like, hey, here are some suggestions. But he was talking about Myles Garrett. He was like, look, you can't do these things. Great, great content. I sent it to my son Carter so he could watch it, so he could prepare for his own games. But yeah, Kevin, whenever you were like, I can't control that one dude who is so vital and important to our team, I can't control what he's doing on the field. I'm a defensive player or whatnot. Then that's very frustrating as a player that your fans start booing. And you have to understand that they're booing that guy.
By the way, on the Terrence Steele front, interesting that they did kind of rework that contract just a little bit to kick some money on down the road right after.
He was very good.
Exactly. So I think they're like, okay, I feel good about that. But I also know plenty of sports fans and probably plenty of athletes. And we just played Dexter Lawrence right there. I've got another one for you in a second. That they don't appreciate or think it's allowable or acceptable to boo your home team. So I kind of wanted to pick y'all's brains about what you think about booing your own home team. If you ever do it, if so, is it warranted? Let me read you a couple of texts on the Franklin Injury Attorney text line real quick. The 972, Tim Hardaway Jr. is the only person I've booed in person. It was at this past year's playoffs when he had that awful, like, 30 seconds of ball, two air balls and one shot off the damn shot clock. I definitely remember that. From the 254, being able to voice frustration with your team is healthy. You can't blindly and irrationally support a team when they're effing up. Otherwise, you're in a cult.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I definitely agree with that, because at home when you're watching the game, do you not cuss your team whenever they do something wrong? Do you not throw your remote control into the couch or across the room or your phone or whatever it is? What's that? Into your couch?
No, fair. I was trying to read a text and process, and to response to you, I said fur.
Fur.
Because I got this amazing text from the 214. Were they booing or were they saying boo-erns? That's from the amazing film festival episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, man. I've never booed in the stadium, but I've said, what the F is this?
Yeah.
What the F is that? Are you kidding me? There have been plenty of those moments, but that I yelled out, but I'm not much of a booer. I guess I boo ironically or sarcastically.
Okay.
I boo sarcastically sometimes. Okay. Like, I'll hear some boo and I'll be like, yeah, boo this man. I think it's funny, but I don't typically boo just to show my disdain, because I know what they're trying to accomplish on the field.
Okay, so Myles Garrett had a different take to this, and I'm going to kick it over to you in just one second, Alex.
I also don't care how the players feel on the field, honestly.
Okay,
if they're sitting there crying over that, Kevin, they are paid millions of dollars to achieve their goals.
That being said, I'm going to read you this next quote.
Just like the texts that come into the show.
From the,
I'm paid millions of dollars to do this job.
Is that right? Oh my gosh.
That's why he lives in Plano.
We negotiated
separately.
That's
a good point. Myles Garrett, because again, his home fans were booing. He said, if we're not playing well, they have the right to boo. If we're kicking ass, they have the right to cheer. It's their privilege. They come in, they pay to see us do well, and we didn't. That part I think is fair. Like, I think people get soft on just the booing. Like, when you're calling names or saying all kinds of, like, inflammatory things in front of the kids, I know some people will argue, don't bring your kids to the game, but sometimes I'm like, let's all work together as a society and make this go. But I appreciate what Myles Garrett said. Alec, where do you fall, and are you a home fan booer?
I probably have at some point in my life, especially that rough patch of Ranger seasons where it felt like it was just 100 loss after 100 loss after 100 loss. So probably in the middle and high school ages for me, I've done it, but I'm not against it. Especially for a situation like the Browns, where, you know, this is a team that everybody was saying you need to respect them because that roster of theirs is so talented, and they were favored at home against the Cowboys and they get blown out, you know, so all indications say that they should at least have a fighting chance in this game, and your offense can't even get the ball moving. There was some crazy stats that the broadcast was throwing up there about how unsuccessful their offense was. They were getting like negative yards or no gain on half of their plays.
Their first 44 plays. Yeah, their first 44 plays.
It
was
absurd. And that's a guy that you paid $230 some odd million to play quarterback and everything. I understand. I don't hate it. And if the players are getting mad, I'm kind of on the same side of these people are paying tons of money in most cases, especially season ticket holders. They're almost getting a mortgage for some of these teams to be able to go see them 8 times a year.
Yeah,
I do know a time that I boo, though.
Okay.
Whenever I am at a venue, it could even be a dinner, and some a-holes start something in the venue. Remember when we went to the Toadies concert and this dude got into a fight? At a Toadies concert. Come on, be an adult.
You think he came from the water?
And I boo that guy. I boo as he's getting hauled out. I'm like, boo that guy, because everybody else is standing around trying to have a good time. This guy's trying to create a mosh pit that nobody wants because we're all in our 30s or 40s. All right, come on, grow up.
I did not want that mosh pit.
Back in the day, I was okay with the mosh pits, but we're at a point now where we don't need that. Or if you're at dinner and somebody does something that you're just like, get this guy out of the restaurant. You start booing that guy. I'm now, okay with that.
I appreciate this text, but I totally understand why these people do it. From the 817, I also don't get booing a pickoff at a baseball game. Absolutely. I think that you do. It doesn't make the most logical sense in the world because, like, I'm trying to prevent you from stealing a base. The home fans all know, hey, we got a speedy guy at first or a speedy guy at second. Let him do his thing. And they're like, I would like to stop you from doing your thing. And so when you try to stop that, they're like, boo. I just think that is like lazy booing right there. But I definitely understand.
And sometimes the pitcher's doing it to stall for time, you know? Well, not now that. Because everything's kind of changed. But back in the day, there was definitely like, I got a guy in the bullpen. My arm's dead. I'm throwing over there because that's my only option.
Right, I now. Definitely think that's fair. Now, I have a quick addendum to this because I felt bad about honking at somebody yesterday.
What?
All right.
You never feel bad about honking at somebody.
You're right. But I saw her reaction to it, and I was like, okay, so you're just lost.
Your car is the goose.
And you, yes, because it honks so much. She just shouldn't have been out on the road. So.
Oh, no, it was an old lady.
It was. I'm driving back from Mansfield, again, shout out Texas Roadshow. And there's that part where 20 breaks off, and you go to the right. You can go to six. You can go through 635, go back to Mesquite, go to Garland, everything like that. So we're moving off on that side, and there's plenty of lanes on either way. You got a whole lot of space to figure it out. This lady is in the middle lane on the way to Mesquite and Garland. So not almost close to being able to go the other way. She just decides to slow down to about 30 miles an hour. And it's not because of traffic. Like, it's not because there's a slowdown coming up. She just slows way the F down, and I honked at her.
Mm.
And because I was like, what are you doing? And then I saw her reaction in front of me. She kind of shrugged her shoulders and just put her hands up in the air, and you could tell she was like, I don't know what to do. You could tell she was not in the space that she probably should have been driving her car. I don't know if it was just a bad day or I don't know if like she shouldn't be driving in general, but you could tell the pressure of, I guess, the highway, if you want to describe it like that. Although I didn't view that as a particularly pressure filled situation, had gotten to her because she needed to go to the left. There's no way she was ever going to make it because, like I said, she was in the middle lane. But then, you know, I go around her and she just looks lost. And so she tries to, of course, cut across all of the traffic and get off the highway so she can inevitably turn around, go the other direction and fix it. But
that's, listen, do that.
Yes.
Get off of the highway at the next exit, turn around and fix it. Yes. Don't try and cut across seven lanes to try and ultimately hurt somebody. That's ultimately what's going to happen.
And so that's why I'm curious. Have you ever felt bad about honking at someone as we transition from the booing? And
do you wish you would have just rolled your window down and booed her instead?
No, I really wish. I don't have time for this. And I'm sure there's no way she would have like rolled her window down. Is we could have pulled off the highway together and I'd been like, hey,
I'm sorry about
you
that.
Probably shouldn't be driving anymore. Oh, but also I'm sorry I honked at you, but there's no way like somebody honks at you, they pull off the highway with you, and you walk up to their window, and they're like, hey, how's it going, buddy? Like, that feels like a road rage situation.
You're in a fight.
But I just wanted to know, like, hey, should you be driving? Because the way she threw her arms up, she was lost. She was like, I don't know what to do, and the highway is scary to me.
The highway can be scary for a lot of people.
Have you guys ever felt bad about honking at someone because of a reaction like that? Where you saw perhaps it was an older person and you're like,
Kevin, I've told you about my honking habits. I honk maybe once a month, you know, maybe. I very scarcely do I honk though. Because I'm not in that much of a rush now to like do things. And I really, honestly, people get so ticked off about honking that I don't really want to get into the potential of somebody getting so mad because their day's bad and I got to shoot this guy that just honked at me. So I'm just like, whatever, they're going to move eventually. Now, if they're sitting at a light that turned green and it's been green for 3 or more seconds, then I need to let you know. All right. That has to happen. And if there is a situation where you're swerving into my lane on the highway, I need to honk loud to let you know I'm there. Otherwise, I'm like, nah, I'm moving on. So, Kevin, no, I don't have many of those situations because I just don't honk that much. Sorry.
Yeah, and then I see the obligatory from the 469. I honked at someone on the freeway because they cut me off and they got mad and pointed a gun at me. That's where I think I get into trouble. Is I think if you honk at somebody because they made a driving mistake, they should just accept their mistake and move on with their life. But like, this is not a classroom and I am not a teacher, and that's not the way it works. And so I've been trying to get better at that. I'm not saying it's an overnight process. I've been trying to get better at it. Sometimes I'm like, you just made a mistake. Like, just own your mistake and keep driving.
Yeah, Kevin, having had a gun pulled on me once, now granted it was a pistol, it was a revolver, and I don't know why that old man had a revolver in his car. He probably shouldn't have been driving anyway, to be honest. But after that, that kind of did change my mind about a lot of approaches to things. All I was doing was driving, though. He just got mad, decided, like, I wasn't driving the way he wanted me to. So I still blame him for that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors.
Oh, my gosh. Playoff teams to beat and the surprise MLB playoff contenders. We do it next in The Fan.
The 2-1, and that ball is hit high and deep out into right field. Adolis going back to the track, and this one's gone. Again, just over the wall. Very similar home run to the one he hit in the first. It's a two-run blast here to give Arizona a 4-0 lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. With my mathematical estimations, with that loss, Corey, the Rangers will now need to go 17-0 to finish the regular season to make the playoffs.
What if they go 16-1?
I don't think they're going to make it.
Well,
let's find out in Baseball Buckets.
Yeah. Kevin, I think that's interesting that you say that, considering the games that they have at the later part of their schedule, the latter part, if you will. And now looking here, Kevin, the Astros have a series against the Padres, and to close the season, a series against the Cleveland Guardians.
Okay.
So would that be the chance right there to swoop in right here at the end of the season for the Rangers and make it?
Just you're looking
it would be very different. They would have to lose both of those series and another game somewhere, and the Rangers can't lose.
16-1, I guess, is possible, but I honestly think you would need to rip off 17 straight to make the playoffs.
Let's do it then.
I mean, sure.
The only thing that it's gonna take is more hits than you got last night. I don't think you can win many of your games
that's fair.
With three hits. Now, granted, if it's a 3-0 game or a 1-0 game and those three hits were home runs, then maybe you can. Eovaldi didn't have his best stuff last night, gave up back-to-back home runs that really hurt. But the Rangers, I mean, dude, I can't imagine being Eovaldi and knowing that my team is probably not going to score runs for me.
Okay, yeah.
Josh Smith got a hit. Wyatt Langford got two. Other than that, zeros across the board for everybody with a lot of strikeouts. Now, I know Gallen is a pretty good pitcher. He's a pretty damn good pitcher.
You feel any better that it was against him as opposed to the mystery pitcher of the week that we hadn't heard of and they somehow managed to shut the offense down? Not really.
I don't know. Because you beat up on that dude in the World Series last year. Like, you had your chance. You got it. You got to him last year. And I know he's still good. And he probably comes into a game like this and is like, you know what? I'll show them. He probably has his best stuff on a night like that too. But it is frustrating as you're trying to make this surge here to get to that area. The Rangers, but that's been their thing all season. I'm so befuddled.
Yeah.
By their inability to hit. And again, at the end of last year, it existed. They could not hit. Then in the playoffs, they were amazing. What was different? What changed? How did it change? I don't know. I have no clue how to do that, how to fix it, other than maybe a hitting instructor or maybe some different players. And that's what Chris Young has to solve in this offseason, is trying to figure out exactly what the reason is that their guys aren't hitting. And a guy like Marcus Semien, 0-for-4 last night with 2 strikeouts. You can't have that from your leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, and I know he's having a tough season or a down season. I'll also point this out. The Rangers were on a bit of a roll. And then Mike Bassick shows up in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And what happens?
They lose.
They barely even hit. I texted Mike about that.
What did he say to that?
He said, they only got three hits, but I was really good. So, or actually, I'm sorry, I was great. So Mike,
that's the Mike pointing out, I know.
He did a really good job on air. He can't control the Rangers' hitting woes.
How much better would he have been if they would have put up legitimate offensive numbers?
Probably a lot better.
Okay. I mean, he said he was great already.
Yeah.
So.
Like, can you imagine Wyatt gets a walk-off bomb to end the game? What Mike's going to do? He's going to cheer in the booth because that's what Mike, he's a fan first.
He is.
Of the Rangers. Cowboys, different story. Rangers? He's there for them.
Yeah.
Kevin, the surprise, though, how the five contenders defied preseason expectations.
All right. So where are the Rangers on this list?
They are not on this list right now.
I just told you if they go 17-0, they could still make the playoffs.
They are not on this current list. But there are five teams on this list that a lot of people were like before the season, I don't know exactly where they're going to stand. But Kevin, the number one team on the list that kind of, I don't think they really changed everybody's ways, the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
How have they done it? They're on pace for plus six wins over their projected number at the start of the season. Now, you're saying they're a World Series team, but a lot of people were like they were a surprise World Series team, much like the Rangers. And they didn't quite change much other in the offseason. But biggest reason, their offense. Their offense is very, very good right now. They are, and their runs allowed per game, about 16th best. So they're kind of right there in the mix for it. But they're 10th best in runs per game, 4.73 runs per game. So they've turned their season around, too. They kind of started off a little junky and kind of turned it around for themselves.
You not root for them, but are you pulling for them at all? Because you're like, hey, you did your best against us and you failed. Let's see how you can do now.
No.
Okay.
Because, they're an enemy, for one,
okay,
that we've already defeated. And I want to kind of always, I don't want them to win now and be like, okay, well, our former enemy I want to meet them again and beat them again.
Okay, gotcha.
Padres, plus eight wins over their projected wins.
That is a team that I also was like, not looking good.
Their big trades matter, and out of nowhere surprises matter for them. And the projections for opening day, they didn't know that the Padres would have Dylan Cease, Michael King, Jackson Merrill, and then they also couldn't know that Luis Arraez, Tanner Scott, Jason Adam would all be acquired, and they've all been useful additions for that team. So there, look, man, again, that's a team that said, let's make some really good moves for our team. Were the Rangers?
Yeah.
What were their moves? Because moving on from Soto, you're thinking to yourself, oh man, we've just given up. Yeah. But they said, now we have a little bit of a plan. The Brewers are also in this conversation. Plus 11 wins over projected for their season. Their biggest reason, turning no-name pitching into value. And also, Jackson Chourio. Is he the dude?
Yeah.
He's the guy in Major League Baseball.
He looks like the dude.
Gosh, man.
But then again, I mean, that doesn't always translate. I thought Luis Robert looked like the dude.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Obviously, for different reasons, Wander Franco is not going to be the dude. But he looks really, really good.
And Frankie Montes' fastball jumped over 1 mile per hour since he got there from Cincinnati. What do you think changed?
Did you put your hand on his shoulder?
Like, no, I didn't.
Okay.
Beer, though, probably is the thing, because they're Brewers, Kevin. So he probably started drinking some beers.
I'm sorry. I did not track you on that. My apologies.
Kevin, there's another team on this list, the Guardians, plus 11 wins over projected. We kind of know what we're getting there, as we've seen that team. But this is the one that I really wanted to dive in on, Kevin. Currently, they are, where did my list go? Plus 12 wins over projected for the season. And they have one of the hottest hitters in baseball. And Mike has collected almost all of his cards.
This is the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is the Kansas.
I mean, it Royals.
Is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sorry, football brain. Royals.
It is Come the on, Royals. Daddy. Thank you very much. It is the Kansas City Royals who are now their biggest reason, starting pitching. Yes, starting pitching, which again, for the Rangers, pitching's not that bad. It's sure. more about the fact they can't hit the baseball at all. But pitching has been the big factor for them. And Kevin, yeah, Reagan's, he proved his 12-start cameo last year was the real deal. He is still rolling along. But I think the most important part of that, Alec Medford, during spring training, while we were sitting there, the Rangers have one dugout, the Royals have one dugout, I found out that Will Smith signed for that team. And I said, well, obviously the Royals are going to win this World Series. And Kevin said, no way in hell that's going to happen. And I was like,
fact.
Do you want to bet? Kevin said, I do want to bet. And so our bet is that if the Royals win the World Series, Kevin will grow a skullet. So he will grow long hair on the side, no hair on the top. If I lose...
Unless genetics decides to play it back for me.
Hold on.
They're like, hey, we changed our mind.
Do you think that the genetics would just be like,
no,
look, we'll give it back to you?
Chance in hell. Would
you, are you going to go for like the Hulk Hogan, just let it hang, skull it? Or are you going to kind of comb it over?
No, no. I'm going to go for that. I'm going to start being a bandana guy. I think it's going to be great.
I can see it now.
Yeah,
I
do see it.
Brother.
Yeah, well, and then...
Except without all the others.
If I lose, I have to grow a mullet, which I'm not a big fan of the mullet.
Me neither.
Somebody on the fan text did say, Corey, you're going to look great in a mullet. So we'll see how that all rolls out. But there you go. That's the surprise teams and how far they are, how much better they are than everybody expected, where they're going to land, and where are the Royals going to land on this conversation about this bet?
We're the KNC masterpiece. I mean, obviously, I hope they don't win the World Series. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.